A pastor in the separate country of Washington has been told by the dictatorship there he will pay for abortions for people who work for his church. The pastor has said no.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile. Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And there is a pastor who is standing up for the least of these, the very definition of the least of these. Separate country of Washington, the dictator and his party, the leftist portion of the party, have decided that pastors will be forced to pay for abortions for people who work for their church, even though abortion is absolutely prohibited under any and all readings of the Bible. Completely and utterly impermissible. So he's decided to fight back. And one of his parishioners is a good friend of mine. She does social media for us at the show. So she's going to join us as well. Pastor Jay Smith and Julie Barrett are going to join us. This is a conversation that's made possible by our friends. That sounds like public radio. Made possible? I guess it is. They're partners at Allen's Artisan Soaps. This is a little bit of a tough message, but it's a fact. You know, in Iceland, they say they have eradicated Down syndrome. Done. It's over. You know how they did it? They killed all the babies with Down syndrome. They aborted them. Boom. Rescued. Well, Allen's Artisan Soaps is a home for people who don't, well, they could have Down syndrome. It's jobs for people who have autism. And they make incredible artisan soaps. And they live incredible lives, even with the limits that would keep a lot of us home in bed. They refuse to do that. It's allensoaps.com. I'm excited to see people beginning to stand up to the dictator of Washington State. So joining me now is Pastor Jay Smith, his wife Sandy, and our friend and social media manager, director, executive of the Todd Herman Show, Julie Barrett, is also with Conservative Ladies of Washington. And Pastor Jay and his wife are with Cedar Park Church in Bothell. In fact, we have an event coming up there, they're allowing us to use the building. So Pastor Jay, Sandy, welcome to the Todd Herman Show. Let's start with you. You guys can't really comment on this case. I know the Alliance Defending Freedom is handling the legal aspects of this, but let's just start from a perspective of the Lord, of the Lord's law. You're told to provide abortions. I think this is distinctly scripturally prohibited. So, but I'm not a pastor. You guys are. So describe this for my audience.
I mean, it's amazing that even a comment like that, it doesn't take a pastor to recognize and understand that life is of God's making. It's a gift from Him, and it's something to be protected, not something to be snuffed out. It's something to be cherished and fostered, not something to be disposed of. And so really, Todd, I mean, we're delighted to be able to be with you today. I mean, you have been such a strong voice in our region and really in our day about such common sense issues, which is really what it is. I mean, we can go to the scriptures, which from the very beginning, the very first page, tells us that the value of life is of God's making, that the value that is in every human being is there, because God Himself has put His fingerprints on us, and God Himself has breathed His Spirit into us. That's what Genesis chapter 2 tells us in the creation of human beings. But so it's not it's not something that you need an advanced theological degree. It's not something that you need an attorney to help you interpret. It's life. Every human being understands and recognizes and can celebrate it. So yeah, it's in every page.
Yeah, it just reminds me that this Friday is a very special Christian holiday. I don't know if it's on your radar, but March 25th is actually Annunciation Day. And not very many people heard or really understand what that's all about, but that's really the day that the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would give birth to God's son, Jesus Christ. And so that's a day that celebrates life. You know, life for Jesus on earth began in the womb, which, as we know in Washington State, is a dangerous place for the unborn. You know, but we as a church and as a community are going to stand up. We're actually going to head out to the 520 Bridge with our high school students with a bunch of people from our community, from our church. We're going to hold flags that say life is precious. We're going to lift up a banner of truth over our state, praying and believing that the tide can turn, right? We're going to stand upon truth. But even if the tide doesn't turn, we're going to continue to lift up truth and announce as a church community, that March 25th, Annunciation Day. It's in right. God's word.
So what time is it going to happen? And understand that most of our audience, we're very blessed. God has blessed us with a great base audience out of the separate country of Washington. But you know what's interesting? Most of our audience is now outside the separate country of Washington. And that's just due to God's blessing and just growing this podcast. And of course, our great friend, Rush Limbaugh, who got us started in this. So you know, God rest Rush. When is that happening in the 520 Bridge so people can go join perhaps?
Yeah, thank you so much. Our goal is to be on the bridge at 12:30 on Friday, and we'll be out there all the way until 2 p.m. And so you can join us from the Bellevue side in Medina, or you can join us from the Seattle side, which is right, the Arboretum right there.
Montlake exit.
Yep. And we're going to just meet on both sides and fill that bridge for, you know, about an hour or so. And we're going to take some time to pray that God would protect the unborn and would protect life and actually just change the culture in our state, that it'd be a culture of life instead of a culture of death. And I believe that that is something that's going to happen. So we invite anybody who wants to join us to come on out and to stand for life. It's going to make quite a display, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, we're on the pedestrian walking side of the bridge. It's not a protest. It's not a counter. We're here just to simply celebrate, to pray. It's a peaceful, prayerful, joyful celebration of something that takes place 9 months before Christmas. It's funny because the whole world goes nuts and celebrates Christmas. And it was the birth of Christ. But you know, you back up to that. All the same people who celebrate Christmas should also be able to celebrate that announcement 9 months earlier that it would be. And that life had begun, and that life had purpose and power and destiny. So, 12:30 to 2 o'clock, walk from either side. We're going to take a moment of praying.
So let me ask a question, and then I want to chat with my friend Julie Barrett, because she's a parishioner of yours, and she's experienced some really dark things that are being done in the separate country of Washington to children. And incidentally, Julie and I are having an event at the pastor's church. It's not of the church, but he's allowed us to use the building. This is going to be on Friday, May 20th, 6:30 through 8:30 p.m. Both Julie and I are going to speak. The theme of the night is, will God save America? And as the pastor can tell, and his wife, I'm not qualified to preach about anything, but to share a testimony. So Julie's going to speak, and then I'm going to speak. We'd love to have you there. This is in May, but we're already about 20% sold out. So you can go to the toddhermanshow.com/events, and tickets are $20. I'd love to meet you there. And then you can go see this fine church that's standing up. So Pastor Smith and Sandy, let me ask you this. I know that we're not really supposed to say these things, but I'll just say the thing that we're not supposed to say. Is there a demonic influence over the separate country of Washington State?
Man, there is definitely a demonic influence that is alive and well, if you could use those words, not just in Washington State, but it is lurking and creeping, really in many places, but we see it concentrated. I mean, anytime that we see things, for instance, like life being devalued, where does that come from? I mean, whose idea is it to kill, to steal, and to destroy? Well, Jesus actually answers that for us in John chapter 10. He tells us that's the work of the enemy. You know, when we see legalized murder, which is what we believe, how you define clearly abortion, when we see legalized theft, which is what we're seeing rampant, not only in the city limits of Seattle and in King County and Washington, but really around the world through governmental means. When we see legalized destruction, what we're seeing are the works of Satan. And the Apostle Paul also tells us that the works of Satan are what pave the way for lawlessness and a dominating global leader of lawlessness, the man of lawlessness that the Bible teaches is the Antichrist, will arise. And, you know, the one thing that we can do is we can get freaked out by all of this, or we can also recognize that what we're seeing in our world is actually what God has already revealed in his word. And so it's not out of God's control. So it's a day to trust in God. It's not a day to be intimidated, by demons, by Satan's works. It's the day to be invited into the Word of God, into relationship with Jesus Christ. Friends, there's only one way to salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's not by working harder. It's not by, you know, doing everything right. It's by putting our faith and trust in Him, knowing that He is the forgiveness of our sins and Him alone. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, who came. By the way, can I just finish that? John 10, Jesus said the enemy's works are clear. Kill, steal, destroy. That's His job description. But then Jesus followed it up by saying, I've got a bigger job description. Here's what it is. I have come that you might have life and have life to the fullest. So even in the context of all of this scary, you know, demonic influence, Jesus still is bringing life. Jesus is restoring. Jesus is bringing fulfillment and purpose.
Yeah. This, and, you know, for folks who've not experienced the darkness up close, let me paint a picture. And can this happen? And then Julie, I'm going to come to you here. This happened in the separate country of Washington when they spent a year obsessing, a year and a half obsessing with shoving this utterly perverse sex ed, they call it, into the schools, which you speak of millstones and the Lord Jesus saying, if you're going to cause the young ones to stumble and to not believe in me, to be separated from me, better for you to have a millstone around your neck and to be tossed into the ocean. Teaching kids sexual techniques, celebrating sexual desire of all types, confusing kids about their gender and their biology, all of this quite purposely done. The day they finally passed that after going through 4:30 in the morning, and there were some, and Jesse Young deserves all sorts of credit, good Christian man, fighting this amendment after amendment. And some of the amendments couldn't be aired on public television because the amendments were perverse. Because it had to go into what was in the bill. They were told, you can't say those words on public television. They had to blank them out, even though they were quoting the legislation that would be taught to these children. The day after that occurred, a satanic group that called themselves a church gathered, and they poured oil and, I believe, blood on the steps of the Capitol. And they said, our bill has been passed. And Pastor and Pastor Smith and I, you've experienced this, Sandy, you've experienced this perhaps, but I got into this argument with a woman on social media who said, oh, come on, you don't really believe this is really the Church of Satan. They're just poking fun. And so I said, oh, well, the great trick, Satan, to say I don't exist. And she then in that conversation, she flipped and she said, you better believe we're coming. You better believe we're celebrating. You and your God make us sick and we laugh at you. And she just lit up into this evil and you know what? I was freaked and I felt like I'm having trouble sleeping. And then I remember the Lord Jesus saying 365 times, not just him, but God Almighty, hey, don't be afraid. Right. They have no power over you. You simply bring the Holy Spirit forward and give this to the Holy Spirit. Right. That was a very dark day. And I want to bring your parishioner, Julie Barrett, into this. Julie works social media for us, does a lot more than that, email, et cetera. She runs a group called Conservative Ladies of Washington. Julie, sadly, you have seen and experienced, and you need our prayers, what's being done to children in that state under guise of helping. So will you join the conversation and talk about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
where do you want me to start?
Well, I mean, sadly, it's a long story and you and I have become brothers and sisters in many ways, but particularly through what's being done with kids. But you've watched them target particularly your daughters. You've seen the party go after your daughters and now other people's kids. So let's start with the attempt to medically kidnap your child.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of parents, I don't think people realize that this actually can happen and does happen. And I think it happens more than people realize. And I was fortunate enough that you called me right away as soon as you heard about what happened last spring, and allowed me to share my story without, censoring, the groups that were involved. And, you know, parents think of things like, you know, well, I have a really good relationship with my child and we talk and things like that. And, you know, I had a really good relationship with my child too, but these people are very manipulative of children, and that is their whole agenda. And it ties in with the sex ed stuff too, is their whole agenda is to break children away from the family so that they can manipulate them and indoctrinate them and have complete control over these children. And, you know, it's not just medically kidnapping them, but it all ties in with the sex ed bill and starting it in school and starting it early in school, because then they really can control them and it's easier to get them away from the family and from, you know, frankly, from parents like all of us. All of us here today.
And this, folks, boil this down to the essence that these are groups like, is my understanding through the police reports, the Paul G. Allen Hope Center, which you think, but that would be a fine group. It's Paul Allen. It's one of the co-founders of Microsoft. It's not. And they are sending groups into schools to say, hey, if you're angry at your parents, come to us. Right. Hey, if your parents aren't giving you what you want, come to us. They've attempted to pass and eventually will get passed a law in Washington state that will make you a domestic abuser if you will not use your kid's preferred pronoun or if you keep your kids out of extracurricular activities. That will make you a domestic abuser. So let me take this back over to Pastor Jay Smith, his wife, Sandy. You were quoting Genesis, and quite rightly so. I'm taught that God invented the family and that God invented the family unit. And to me, Pastor and Sandy, that I think that the enemy, I call him the world's first politician, first to use wedge issues and grievance issues. But didn't he also come and effectively insert disruption into God's family unit? And hasn't he always wanted to destroy the family?
Absolutely. The family is the basis of how God pours blessing out on the earth. I mean, it is through the generations of families, through the generations of children that are born as the result of a man and a woman being brought together. I mean, not only do we see it in Genesis, but Jesus affirms it. I mean, marriage, which we have seen attacked over and over and over again, Jesus recognizes in the context that marriage is what God has joined together. And we see that it is, again, the devil's work to destroy everything that God has promised to bless.
Yeah. I was just listening to the news this morning and I was shocked to hear that, again, another punch in the face of the state of Washington. But apparently in the state of Washington, it's, you know, teachers are allowed to keep any type of gender confusion away from parents. Like, they do not have to tell parents if, you know, if their children is deciding to change, their child is deciding to change their gender at school. But, you know, Satan has one playbook, and just like Jay mentioned, it's to steal, to kill, to destroy. He doesn't care if that child is in the womb or out of the womb, but his desire is to destroy them. And so we're seeing that happening in our state.
Yep. And you're exactly right, Sandy. I saw that too. And Julie, you brought something up, something new about abortion in the state, that it's no longer just so-called doctors who get to participate in the killing of babies, but it's who?
Yeah, the Democrats were celebrating because on St. Patrick's Day, Jay Inslee signed into law House Bill 1851, which is the it's something like the abortion access healthcare law. But basically, it changed the, you know, this is a whole other episode, but it changed the terminology from pregnant women, and it crossed out women and put in pregnant individuals.
Of course it did.
And then it allows a wider variety of providers to perform abortion, so nurse practitioners and things like that. And it also bans the ability for lawsuits against abortion providers.
Of course it does. And let's just, as a quick reminder for everybody, a little fun fact about the separate country of Washington. 13-year-olds can go avail of themselves of this without parental permission, but you have to pay. And there's nothing you can do about it. And your insurance company will say, well, you can pay or you will be canceled. That's what they're going to do. And we're not going to say what they did. They can also put your kids in psychotropic drugs without your permission, wrong sex hormones, etc., without your permission. Well, I want to take this from a different perspective, and that is women who are listening who've had an abortion. I want to talk about how the church can communicate to women about that, because a lot of people feel hurt. As we're talking about this, and I said this at the top of the show, and we'll go back to the pastor and his wife and Julie here in a second. I said this at the top of the show that, and this is I know that Alan's dad, John, is a listener. I don't enjoy saying this. It's simply a fact that there are people who would prefer that young boys like Alan not live. He's 11. He's profoundly impacted by autism. He's profoundly impacted by some other health concerns. And yet he is, when I say he's the chief soap officer of Allen's Artisan Soaps, that's real. He comes up with the scents. He rates them. He helps design the packaging. He works there on a daily basis in quality control and packaging on a daily basis. He may be nonverbal, but he's a very smart kid. And you'll catch that. You'll catch that 5 minutes into a conversation with him. He may not be able to form words like you or I, but he's very bright and you'll see it. You'll see it in his eyes. You'll see it in how he responds. Now, there are people who would say, yes, but the quality of life, right? He works. He goes to school. He provides a service, Allen's Artisan Soaps at allensoaps.com. And I just said that in Iceland, they like to say, oh, we've eradicated Down syndrome. No, you haven't. You've killed babies who had it. You haven't eradicated anything but them, right? So there's a choice that we have when we spend our money. And it's, look, if you don't like the soap, don't buy the soap, but try it because it's a template of a program. It's a template of a company to employ people like Allen in functional roles that are real and necessary and valuable, right? And this is one of the ways that we support life is we support the product of life, and that is dignified work and toil. So go to allensoaps.com, allensoaps.com. Try all, I'm always tempted to say flavors. People make fun of me for that. Try all the scents. If you don't love them, don't buy them. But if you do, get a subscription plan. Allen's Soaps, A-L-A-N-S, soaps.com. So Pastor Jay Smith is with us. His wife, Sandy, we're going to be having an event. Julie, from whom you just heard, is going to be joining me at that. Actually, I'm joining her, right? She speaks first. She's why everyone's coming. This is going to be 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Bothell, Washington, May 20th. Go to thetoddhermanshow.com/events. The theme is, will God save America? Certainly he can, but will he? Pastor, let me ask you this. There are women who will listen to this and they have had an abortion and they're hearing this and they say, well, I'm certainly not welcome at that church. I'm certainly not welcome in Todd's podcast family. How do we respond to that? As I call us Jesus needers. And so how do we respond to that, Pastor?
Man, I think if Jesus was going to rule people out of being a part of the church because they have parts of their life that they're not proud of because they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then I think the gospel is the most worthless thing ever. But praise God, it's not.
Yeah.
Praise God that Jesus welcomes all kinds. I mean, Sandy and I'll let her share a little bit. Our own story is one where there's parts of our life that we're not exactly proud of, but we've seen how God has changed. No one is perfect. And the church is this place. We're not where perfect people come together and pretend like they've got it all figured out, but it's where people come to Jesus and exchange our sin for the grace of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Can't speak for every church, but I can speak for our church. You know, Jay and I met when we were 3 years old, and we started dating the summer before our senior year of high school, and we didn't make great choices, and I ended up getting pregnant when I was 18 years old. Pastor's daughter, deacon's son. This was not a good scenario. And I remember there was a moment when I just found out that I was pregnant and the thought of having an abortion flashed across my mind. And just as soon as it came to my mind, I remembered a Sunday night at our church when we had invited some women to come and share with our church their story who had abortion. So our church sat and I remember I was probably 16 at the time, maybe younger, and they had abortions, you know, decades before. But even them retelling the story of their abortion, there were tears flowing from their eyes down their faces. And I will never forget, first of all, their boldness to share. But because of their testimony, I knew that that was not a solution either. So we chose life for our daughter, who actually just turned 25 yesterday.
Thank the Lord.
So now we have four beautiful daughters. But, you know, the world tries to tell you if you are a teenager and you're pregnant, you're going to go into poverty. There's no success hope for you or your children. You know, but I think we are living examples of, and the church really gathered around us as a couple and loved us and supported us through that.
Yeah. And thank the Lord for that. Thank you for grace. I've said many times, I'm a broken cat. I need redemption multiple times a day. And when I say I'm not qualified to preach, it's because I'm not a pastor. And I think that there's a process, like an ordination process, that should be respected. Qualified to share a testimony. Certainly, I've faced redemption. You know, Julie, I'm a little bit surprised as the one perfect person in this discussion. You know, I wonder what it's like for you to sit here with a bunch of imperfect people. I mean, because certainly you've always been perfect.
Oh, always, of course. Yeah.
And do you feel when you began exploring faith for yourself, I mean, can you share with us a little bit about what that was like for you, that process?
Well, actually, I have my own daughter that was almost aborted, and she will actually be 26 in a couple of months.
Praise
so
God.
Jay and Sandy and I have similar but also very different stories of, you know, wrong time and wasn't planned. And I grew up in a Lutheran church, and so it was definitely not, you know, the kind of thing that you wanted to, you were eager to tell your parents that you dropped out of your Lutheran college and, you know, got knocked up on in the summer.
Yep.
But, you know, it was really a few hours away from an abortion. And I just thought, you know, I can't live with myself if I did that. I don't, you know, I certainly don't pass judgment on other people that have made that choice. I know a lot of people have and, you know, struggle with life after that, and thank God for grace and thank God for forgiveness and that he, you know, washes all that clean. I definitely am so grateful that I chose life. I can't imagine life without my daughter in it. And she's just amazing. And, you know, I think it just really reframes everything for me as a person, just seeing how, you know, God creates every life on purpose for a purpose, and he doesn't make accidents. And so I think, you know, we have such a unique opportunity as Jesus meeters to love on these people, these women who have chosen abortion, and are living with the pain of that choice. We see a lot of, you know, these celebrities and female politicians celebrating, you know, the fact that they had abortions and bragging about it. And I don't believe I just can't imagine that women actually feel proud of that or, you know, have a sense of accomplishment over that. And so I think it's just so important that we just love them.
I think that's the great trick of A, what I call the party. Although this is definitely the leftist portion of the party, at least Republicans haven't yet fully given into that. They're giving into selling babies. And they're okay with that. They're fine that you can, you know, fly through Washington State and purchase babies in bulk. Republicans, that's sweet. They like that because they're just afraid to address it. So, but what you're talking about, at least the right has that correct on life for the most part. So, Pastor Smith and Sandy, thank you for going into prayer on the 520 Bridge on Friday. How can people find out about this event? How can they reach out to you and your church?
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, and just have to give a shout out to Julie. We've known her for a few years, and she is just a lightning rod of a woman. I know God is really just using her in awesome ways, but yes, you can find out more about, this event on lifepnw.org. LifePNW.org. You can check it out. We have all the information about the event right there.
All right.
Or just show up on either side. We're going to meet in the middle. It's not, our goal is not just physical, it's spiritual. You know, we're not just there to wave flags so that people driving by see. We're there to pray because our Heavenly Father sees and hears and receives the prayers of his people. So this is a great day. So even if your friends, and Todd, I know your show has got a reach across the country, if they could even just pray. You know, we want to see the temperature and the value of life raised in our nation today. Because I think your question, will God save America? I don't know, but I know that God saves all those who call on the name of the Lord. So let's do it together.
All right. Agree. Yeah. All across the country, Friday at 12:30. So that's PST. So if you're in New York, that's your 3:30 your time. Let's take some time to pray and pray for life and pray for people's eyes to be opened and hearts to be changed and unhardened, and that God would have mercy and that people that Father God would call women who've had abortions to himself and to let them know that there is in fact redemption and forgiveness available through grace only. Appreciate you guys so very much. I say it every time. I wish that you'll go with God's good grace. Thank you for joining us.
Amen.
Thanks, God.
Man, it is so good to see people standing up for freedom in the separate country of Washington State, standing up for the word of God, which is really what they're doing. I don't know why, but my friend Zach Abraham is still in the separate country of Seattle, or I guess outside of it. With Bulwark Capital Management, I keep bugging him to move to the high mountains of free America. But there, he in the separate country of Seattle, there are a whole bunch of people who wanted out. And you might be experiencing the same thing. They wanted out. And so they were working for a company called Boeing, and the same dynamic exists at Microsoft, and it exists at vendors for Boeing and at Facebook, and there's government workers looking at the same thing, particularly in the big cities. And a lot of folks want to get to the high mountains. So there are people who called Zach. There was a bunch of people from Boeing, and they called Bulwark Capital Management, and they were pretty much convinced that we can't retire. We haven't been there long enough. So Zach's team and he ran the numbers. And do you know that over half these people could retire early? See, one factor about Bulwark Capital Management, aside from Zach being a truth teller, you experience this on the show every week, is that he is, in fact, focused at Bulwark Capital Management on risk management. And it's a risky thing to retire early. So my suggestion is you turn it over to Zach, let them do a dispassionate, like, it's not like they're not nice people. They're lovely people. You know that. You've heard Zach on the air. So it's not like they don't like you, but they're just simply going to look at the math. So call Bulwark Capital Management. They're at 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. And they're truth tellers, which I value. So when we talk about this sort of redemption that we just talked about with the pastor and we talked about with Julie, and we talk about a world that is doing this in reverse. When we went through the consequences of abortion for women and we went through the consequences of what it's like to live under a separate party in a separate country, I think one of the most profound and frightening things that's being done with the party is this inverse, backwards, weird circus mirror worlds aspect of Christianity, that they are in fact flipping it. So we just had a what was some would say is a religious conversation. I would say it's in fact a Jesus-based conversation. But I always go back to when I listen to these conversations, and I conduct them, I listen to them. If you go through just the very, very basics of what we just talked about, you have this going on. You have this theft of redemption. Now think of this. White privilege, the assertion of white privilege, the assertion of whiteness as a sin is the theft of redemption. This is the party telling you the sin of being white is so bad and so awful that one can never overcome it. And it's so, in fact, there's no redemption available, because what they talk about is not redemption. It is mitigation. And the way to get the mitigation, and the only way to get the mitigation, is first of all, to admit the sin. It's no mistake that this looks a lot like struggle sessions. It's no mistake that it looks a lot like a courtroom. And the struggle sessions are mouths. This is where you're brought in and you are eventually forced to admit your sin, and they would color it up like it was a courtroom, as if there's an actual legal case going on, as if you can actually come out of that not convicted. And in the case of whiteness, of course, because it's in your DNA, there is no defense. So throughout the struggle session, when you finally say, okay, fine, I've got white privilege, you've sentenced yourself. You have sentenced yourself to either continue to be a sinner against the party, a hated person and an oppressor, or you've sentenced yourself to go to work for the party. And there is also the inverse. You see, the Great Commission for Christians is not to go to church. That's great. Be part of the body of Christ. That's part of it. But the Great Commission is go and make disciples. Again, once you convict yourself of having white privilege, once you convict yourself of the sin of whiteness, the only way to mitigate that, for there is no redemption, is to join the party's work in going out and telling other people they sin. It is the upside down inverse in every possible way of Christianity, because it is, in my judgment, the enemy building a faith, building the false religion. All of it based on power dynamics. All of it based on power, on appeal to authority. None of it based on the word of God. None of it based on any material fact. All of it fungible. All of it changeable. And here's what I mean by that. They can switch this over to Hispanic privilege anytime they want. They can switch this to Chinese privilege anytime they choose. Because it's made up from whole cloth. So they can go now against another race of people because it's made up from whole cloth. So even there, right, the word of God is unchanging. It's not fungible, but the word of the party is fungible by its very creation and how it's created. It's fungible because it's nonsense. It's nonsense because tyranny is always capricious. Thank you, Mark Stein, for constructing the thought that way. Tyranny is always capricious. So they don't just steal redemption from white people. They create a dynamic by which there is no real redemption. And then they sell this. Now, you take this and compare it to the word of God. Thou shalt not murder. So you have a baby killed. And it's not just that you've committed the act. Now, there is this human emotion that God abhors, and it's pride in people. God abhors human pride. Not human happiness, not human satisfaction, not human contentment, not human enjoyment, not human pleasure. He invented all those things. It's pride that he abhors because he's quite aware of the fact that we didn't create anything. So of what are we proud exactly? Well, I'm really proud of how strong I am. You can have great satisfaction that, you know what, God gave me a body and a love of exercise, and I employ that exercise, and I grow to use that as a time to be thankful for the body God gave me within this life. I struggle with that. Man, working out has been an icon for me. I turned my daughter's speed skating into an icon. We went to speed skating instead of church. That's a huge sin. Awful. I'm still digging out of it. Thank gosh for redemption. Thank God for redemption. But now it's a pride in death. You look at the first murder in the Bible. You look at the story of Abel and Cain. Cain and Abel. We now have people who are killing babies. They're not saying, what was I my baby's keeper? Well, God says, yeah, you were your baby's keeper. And then you didn't keep your baby. And still there's redemption through grace. But the party's saying, shout your abortion. The party's saying, celebrate your abortion. The party's saying, be proud of what you've done. I invite you to look into what the party is constructing in anything. God created humans, man and women, he created them. No, he didn't. God said, let there be light. Bill Gates. No, not that much light. God created every hair on our head and knows the numbers. Well, until we add our human code to it through mRNA. Thou shalt not murder, unless it's a helpless baby. I invite you to look into what the party's actually doing. And when I talk about the separate country of Washington State, is it really even just a separate country? Really? Or is it something much more than that? So good to see people standing up. Hope you'll join us in prayer Friday, 12:30. PST, so 3:30 New York time. I'm sure there'll be live streaming of the event as well. This is the Todd Herman Show. I'm continuing to recover from surgery. Thank you for the prayers. Now, please, go be well, be strong, be kind, and let's all of us, yes, let's join together Friday, 12:30 Pacific time, for a prayer to the Lord.